Tribe Show Podcast on a Monday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Thank you for tuning in here. I know lots of stuff going on. Summer break. Hopefully you're out there enjoying the sunshine a little bit. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. Hope you had a great day yesterday. And how about that U.S. Open? Those that are watching right now on my YouTube channel, you can see a picture of Rory McIlroy at the top of the swing. His hands are high and the club shaft is laid off. More on that later. Those listening just on audio, thank you for tuning in. I have got a full show for you today. I've got so many thoughts. My head is spinning. That was unbelievable theater on a Sunday at a U.S. Open. Kudos to everybody. That was just fantastic. Not a huge fan of the par 5-6, though. Didn't like that. But outside of that, I got nothing. I got nothing. That was fantastic. If that doesn't get you excited, late on a Sunday, U.S. Open, Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy going head-to-head, two giants bombing the ball out there off the tee. Unbelievable touch around the green. How about those short games? My goodness. Bryson, his short game has improved a ton. A ton. Rory McIlroy, short game, brilliant. These guys hit it a long ways, and it covers up some of the other parts of the game, but I want to bring it front and center here at the beginning of this podcast. Those short games were insanely good because those were some tough shots. Sticky, Bermuda, around the greens, tabletop greens, fast. Brilliant stuff. I mean, absolutely brilliant stuff. Where do you start with all this? I mean, there was so much happening between just those two guys that I find myself, I'm having a hard time. Like, where do I start with today's show? We're gonna look at both of these guys, both their golf swings. I'm gonna share with you some of my thoughts about some of the conversation about Rory McIlroy last night on Golf Channel, Brandel Chamblee and Paul McGinley talking about Rory, where the breakdown was, why hasn't he won a major championship in 10 plus years. I'm going to share with you my thoughts on that. We're also going to look at Bryson DeChambeau's swing and kind of share with you, I think, something that you can learn from Bryson's swing, something that has evolved over the years as he's gotten longer. I think Bryson has a terrific draw pattern type of swing that I'm going to share with you. But before we get to that, I have to start with Rory McIlroy. If you follow me on this podcast, you know I am a Rory fan. I think Rory, over the last 2 to 3 years and what he took on being the face of the PGA Tour and how that whole thing played out, I think Rory deserves better than that. But I'm not here to defend Rory McIlroy on those terms. I've talked about those things over the last 2 to 3 years on the pod. What I am going to talk about today, though, with Rory, I think, are some of the things that we just kind of continue to see and give us the reasons why Rory really so definitively late on a Sunday and the reasons why he hasn't won a major championship in 10 plus years. Those two short miss putts were about as painful as a fan to watch than I can remember. I mean, John Vandeveld, right, at the Open Championship is like probably number one. I mean, that was the most bizarre ever. But to go up two shots with 4 or 5 holes to play and Bryson misses a putt, and then all of a sudden you're in the driver's seat and then you miss a short putt and then you follow up with another one on the 72nd hole. Painful. I mean, absolutely painful. But I don't think to anybody's surprise in that Rory situationally down the stretch had some trouble putting, right? We know Rory can be a little bit up and down with his putter. He can be shaky. We saw him make some nice putts, some longer putts. that went in. And you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe this is the week. This is where it ends. Look at, he's making some putts. In my mind, though, at no point did I ever come to that conclusion like, well, maybe this is Rory's week, because I knew it was going to hit down the stretch situationally where it is time to win the tournament. You've come from behind and it's time to win the major championship. And we've seen Rory struggle in those moments. And I think Paul McGinley articulated that very well last night on Live From a Golf Channel, which was just fantastic. Those guys did just a great job. And Paul talked about how that's been the issue. You know, Rory hasn't been good enough down the stretch, exchanging blows. Now, early in his career, when he was winning major championships by 8-4 total, you know, he was blowing some fields away. But blow to blow, relying on the putter situationally, it's been a problem. And we saw it rear his head again yesterday. Brandel Chamblee took the other side. He took it more of a technique in that Rory just hits too many loose end iron shots. And I tend to agree with both sides. But being the instructor that I am, I have talked about Rory's iron game quite a bit. And I tend to agree with that. And Brandel is someone that I know, my days at Golf Channel. We've actually exchanged a decent amount of texts this year about Rory. We didn't this last week, but in previous months, talking about Rory's iron game, talking about Rory's technique, we've had some really good conversations about it. And Brandel talking about how Rory just hits too many loose end shots, right? I mean, he does things that none of us can do. We are amazed by how easy he makes the game look, especially off the tee. His short game is a very close second. These towering long irons, but then all of a sudden he's got a middle iron, short iron, and he hits this little flare out to the right. And then he overcorrects it with the face, and then it goes hard left. And it shows its face time and time again. And we saw it play out again on Sunday and even really throughout the week, just these shots that he hits that you just kind of scratch your head. Like, did he just miss the green by 10 to 15 yards left with the middle? I mean, you scratch your head, right, on some of these shots that he hits. And so I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I want to comment and I want to go a little bit deeper on Rory's swing. The instructor background that I have and some of the back and forth that I've had with not only Brandel, but with some other people that know Rory and are close to Rory's camp. And if you're watching right now, you will see I've got a picture of Rory up on one side. The right side is back when Rory was winning major championships by 8 strokes. And when you look at that, you can see that the club shaft at the top is pointing a little bit more left. We can see a little bit more of the face angle. The lead wrist is a little more towards flexion, called a bit flatter. Or the picture on the left, the more modern version of Rory, you can see the shaft is a little bit more vertical, kind of stacked up. Shaft probably going to want to point to the right a little bit more. Club face a touch more open. Lead wrist taking on a bit more extension. And so the modern version of Rory, like in a nutshell, his hands are a little deeper. The shaft's a bit more stacked up, vertical slash across the line. And I've asked the question many times about Rory. Why doesn't he just rotate the shaft a bit more on the right? And a lot of the answers that I get, and the reason I ask that, because oftentimes I'll just go back to what, you know, players had the most success with. Why doesn't Rory just get the club pointing a bit more left at the top? And the answer that I've received from multiple people is that Rory says he physically can't do that. He can't get the shaft pointing a bit more to the left. And I'm like, well, why? Physically? I mean, does he not have enough range of motion in his external rotation in his right shoulder? You know, what is it? A wrist condition? And maybe that's the case, but I scratch my head. I'd like to know why. in that Rory can't physically get there? Is he too thick across the chest, perhaps? But yet over the last, let's say, year or two, you know, I will see some videos pop up like this. And you look at Rory here. This is a video from, I think, about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years. And look at him. He's looking at the club. Now watch this. His hands go straight up, and where's the shaft go? It rotates more to the left. Now that is more laid off. That's not a great camera angle, but I can tell you right now, his hands are not as deep, and the shaft is pointing a bit more left. And so I see these videos, and he's doing it right here. You know, he's doing it right here. I've seen Rory work with some swing devices. I've seen him do a number of swing devices that's going to suggest to put some extension in that right wrist, bend it back to get the shaft pointing a bit more behind him. I've seen him practice that with higher hands. Again, not as deep, with the club shaft pointing a bit more to the left. So I've seen him practice it, but yet I've been told a number of times that he physically can't do it. So who knows, right? Who knows? But I think the learning curve here is, as I like to do, and I like to draw it back to you, the audience, is that in this particular miss, right, that Rory has, which he gets the path going too far to the right. And when he gets the path going too far to the right, then he can hit that block, and then he can overcorrect it by letting the club face kind of kick in. Now, he went and saw Butch Harmon, and it sounded like Butch was trying to get his right shoulder, you know, more on top. So maybe bypassing the condition of the hands and the shaft and just going straight to impact and covering it. I'd love to hear the conversation between Rory and Butch about these two pictures. I think it'd be fascinating. It'd be fascinating to listen to. But he was trying to cover it more, get on top of it more, and turn left, exit left, try to hit that cut. And I don't know, you know, I think over the years, Rory has certainly has done that better. He's done that, especially through the years on the right. And with that picture on the right and that condition, that particular, you know, not as deep shaft, a bit more laid off, that's going to kind of work a little more into, let's call it more of a fade bias feel, a fade bias pattern. Now, naturally, you can still draw it from there, of course. But what doesn't have to happen here is that shaft doesn't have to pitch back. Like from there, the club head's already behind you, and you can just turn and hit it and just get on top of it. Where with Rory on the left, and now I'm going to come back to this swing that I had up a minute ago where he was rehearsing, trying to get his hands higher with the club shaft laid off. I mean, look at that picture on the left, right? He just rehearsed all this. Watch this. He just rehearsed trying to get his hands high and the club shaft laid off. Right? Look at that. And then he hits a shot, and here's what it looked like. Look at that picture on the left. It looked just like the one that I showed you in comparison a moment ago. Deep. Hands, club shaft more vertical, and look at the club head pointing more to the right. This isn't a great camera angle, so just I get it. But trust me, I'm taking that into consideration. The problem with that depth and that stacked up shaft is you can still pitch the shaft back, as he does, no doubt. He can still pitch the shaft back, but because his hands work straight down, like his hands don't arc out in front of him, his hands just work straight down behind him, I think it's harder for him to kind of get on top of it, right? I think he can struggle with that. Is it doable? Of course it is. But this particular pattern of depth and the vertical nature of the shaft, the condition of the left wrist, and you counter that with that hand path wanting to go straight down, that movement of that straight down with the hands, like if you were to take that and just pull straight down, like you're going to feel your pelvis wanting to kind of kick to the left, and you're going to feel your spine wanting to kind of fall to the right because you're pulling that thing down, right? So that kind of movement of that straight down hand path, and maybe even at times that little later nature of the shaft wanting to kind of, you know, get behind them, I think can leave that path out to the right. I think it's a hard, it gets hard for him to support that and overcome that with the body. Can he do it? Of course he can. But I think to Brandel's point, it just hasn't been good enough. Right? He obviously hits a lot of brilliant, great shots from here. He's an unbelievable driver of the ball. This particular move with the driver, he gets away with it more because he's sweeping it. He's not hitting down on it. He's sweeping it. In fact, he's hitting up on it. And when you hit up on it with the driver, it does move the path. It influences the path more to the left. So if he hits 2 to 3 degrees up with the driver, even with this pattern, that's going to help him, you know, kind of offset what he's doing in right here in particular, or right in here. Okay, so I think it's more with the irons and the ball on the ground where he tends to struggle at times with this particular move. And so I think Brandel makes some valid points. I agree with him in that, you know, I think his swing, it's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I mean, this is one of the greatest players of our time right now. I get that. But I think if you start to identify why over the 10 plus years, like really bring it to light, why hasn't Rory been able to put this away? A lot of these loose in iron shots, I do think stem from this kind of pattern, which when you look in the years past and you go back to this, you just didn't get that sense with Rory that those types of shots were going to happen. Right. And there's the difference back when he was winning everything on the right to where he is now, which he still wins. He's still that incredibly talented and that skilled of a player. But those loose in iron shots, and they add up just enough, one shot, and he loses another one to Bryson DeChambeau. So I think there's a lot of validity to both sides. I agree with Brandon. Also agree with Paul McGinley in that, look, situationally, it just hasn't been good enough, particularly with the putter, and we saw that play out. Just heartbreak, you know? I mean, just incredible heartbreak for those out there that, you know, cheer for Rory McIlroy, which I know there's so many across the world. Now, I want to go to Bryson. And I give Bryson so much credit. You know, Bryson has been brilliant, really, this year. He's been absolutely brilliant. And when I evaluate his game and you look at it statistically, I'm not sure if Bryson's short game has ever been better than it is right now. I mean, you go back to the PGA Championship. I mean, look, he finished sixth at the Masters. You know, clearly he's learned how to play that game, short game, much better. You go to the PGA Championship where he was second behind Xander. Strokes gained around the green, +5. U.S. Open, strokes gained around the green, +4.4. I don't think his short game has ever been better. I mean, just fantastic. Of course, the shot of the 72nd hole. He made an interesting point, by the way. He said my longer length irons, because they're not that, you know, they're all single length irons. So they're very long wedges. He said his longer length irons made that shot easier. It makes a lot of sense, you know, on that 50, 55 yard bunker shot. But make no mistake, that's not an easy shot. Or maybe it is. Johnson Wagner did it. That guy's short game is a mess right now. And he stepped in there, and I love Johnson. You know, it was awesome to see him hit that shot with Bryson. Just great TV. Great stuff. But Bryson's short game, my goodness, man, he just hit some brilliant shots. I mean, brilliant shots around the greens. And of course, we know Bryson for his length. I mean, he's bombing it out there 350 to 365 yards. And Bryson's swing over the years has gotten more aggressive, right? It took the turn where we saw him change his body. He went down that path with Chris Como to see how far he can hit it. He beefed up. Of course, he wins the U.S. Open in 2020 at Wingfoot. And now he's kind of, you know, he's thinned back down, but he still has speed and in spades. But it appears that he's paying attention to the other parts of his game. He's not neglecting his approach wedge game, his short game, and it's paid off in dividends. His putting, we know, is already – Bryson's always, I think, is one of the best putters in the world, has been. He's working with Dana Dahlquist now, who I've been exchanging texts with. I'm working to get him back on. He's a friend of the pod. But Bryson, you know, much more dynamic lower body movements over the last 2 years. You look at this picture that I have up. I talk about this window in between the knees. Look at that second picture. I mean, he gets it to the top and look at the window between his knees. You want to talk about a change in knee flex? You want to talk about a deep right hip turn, left knee coming across, letting that window open up? You know how many times I say that in my on my lesson to amateurs? It's all the time. All the time. How to use the lower body, how to engage it more dynamically in the backswing. Turn your right hip up and back. Let your left knee come across behind the ball, right? I mean, just saying that, so many of you will benefit from that. Now, what's fascinating is you look at Bryson's swing here. Okay. And it's definitely across the line pointing to the right. I think his left wrist is a bit more flexed than that of Rory. And that's because of the grip. Bryson has a very weak left hand grip. Rory has a stronger left hand grip. And so I think Rory gets more into extension with his left wrist, getting the shaft a bit more vertical. Where Bryson will get that left wrist a bit more flexed, and with that flex, you look at the club shaft pointing slightly to the right. Now, I want to talk about this pattern because this is a pattern that I think helps so many amateurs. Now, I am not suggesting that you're going to swing it as fast as Bryson DeChambeau, but what I am suggesting is this. If you want to learn how to draw it, okay, and there are so many out there, you can learn from Bryson's pattern, okay, and here's why. Number one, you know, if we grip it, just say neutral, not too strong, more neutral, maybe even a touch weak like Bryson. But I like neutral, left thumb slightly to the right. Now, from there, let's say we're going to get a big turn in the right hip. We're going to turn that right hip up and back, let the left knee come across, get a little window in there in between the knees at the top, right? I talk about that all the time, all the time. Now, as we do that, I want you to feel that the lead arm works around you. We create some depth with the club shaft pointing slightly across the line. So I have talked about this pattern so many times with amateurs. Get the lower body to turn properly, get some depth with the left arm, get the lead wrist working towards flexion, not a lot of extension, with the club shaft slightly across the line. Now, from there, okay, from there, what will happen on its own, 99% of the time, is that shaft that you see in the third pick. It shallows back out to the right form. I have gotten that club shaft to shallow out for so many amateurs, and to get the path coming more from the inside by making them look just like Bryson on the picture on the left thousands of times. Teaching people how to draw the driver, change the backswing pattern. In transition, the club does the right thing, pitches back, path is more from the inside, turn and hit it. You can learn that from Bryson DeChambeau. Now, you're not going to do it at the ball speeds that he does it at, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're hitting weak fades and you changed it to this, you are going to hit the golf ball much better, much, much longer. And I would say probably much straighter as well, depending upon, you know, how long you've played and your handicap and all that. And so I love Bryson's swing. I really do. I don't think I'm going to show most amateurs to set up that upright. I don't think I'm going to show them that weak of a left hand. I don't know if I'm going to get the left heel as dynamic as he does. I don't think I'm going to get him to swing, as fast as he does in the backswing. And I know why he's doing that, for speed. You know, so there's some things that I'm probably going to bypass for the amateur player that's not playing as much. But let me tell you something. You want a nice little draw pattern? There it is. There it is right there. I mean, he does it in spades. It's really good stuff. The last thing I'm going to comment with Bryson is his setup. I got a lot of questions about the upright nature. Bryson, you know, his education back in the day with Mike Shy, who's been on the podcast before, his longtime coach, who I still think is part of his team. They, you know, golfing machine guys. Like, I was a big golfing machine guy when I got into the instruction business. Taught me a lot. And one of the things is what's called an impact fix. And an impact fix is getting the right forearm, as you see on the left, the right forearm pointing more down the shaft plane, more on the same plane. Like, the right arm is not straight and hanging vertically. Rather, the right elbow is kind of tucked down, soft, right forearm pointing down the shaft. To do that, you've got to get the left wrist in more what we call ulnar deviation. You've got to get it to unhinge more, get the shaft more upright. And so the shaft sits more upright because of that impact fix. Now, when you look at impact, that's where you are, right? So you can see at impact on all the way over there on the right, like, his right forearm is even more down. The top of the left wrist is an even more ulnar deviation. It's showing up just above the right wrist. And so he's just setting up much closer to that impact condition. That's what's going to happen at impact. Your right forearm is going to get more on plane. Your left wrist is going to work in more towards ulnar deviation, the unhinging. So that shaft wants to raise. So an impact fix just takes that out. You just set up more that, just more like it. Okay. Now, most are going to set a little more conventional, where the hands are a little bit lower and then the right arm hangs a little straighter. But then at impact, you get that raise. Okay. You can get some of that raise. And if you want to eliminate some of that and you just want to set more in that impact dynamic, then you got to set up more like Bryson. You don't see too much of this, right? Carl Pedersen was another one that did that. Stuart Appleby, I thought, was another one that set up a lot like this. Mo Norman, you know, the great Canadian ball striker, did. So it's just, that's kind of the, I guess, the background behind it. With Bryson, he's always been, you know, that kind of player. Bryson's always been a player that I think has rotated the face more as well. You know, he gets the face rotated a little more open going back and then closing coming through. That's certainly another power contributor. And so it's just, it's a fascinating move. But I just think when you do kind of peel it back and you look at where it is, I think it does apply to so many amateurs. I really do. Like, I, you know, but there's so many amateurs that would love to learn how to hit a draw with a driver, you know? And I think to all of the issues that they have and the reasons why they can't. And at the end of the day, and I've been doing this a long time, folks, right? I mean, I teach a lot. And so people come in here and they're like, and I want to make them better and develop them. And you know what the pattern is that so many of them need to learn? And I'm not saying this for everybody. I'm not saying that. But again, to the masses, you know, the pattern that helps so many is that picture right there on the second one from the left. A nice turn in the lower body, get a window in there between the knees, get some depth in the lead arm, get the left wrist working slightly towards flexion and point the club slightly across the line. From there, change the direction. That shaft pitches back. The path moves to the right. Getting the driver better. Baby draw. Well, something I like to call Operation Baby Draw for those who are new to here. Thank you for being here. You go to my website, travisfultongolf.com, and Operation Baby Draw, number one training program, it is there. And there's Total Driving. Okay, so Total Driving is on there. Those are the top two. And I would say, and from a feedback standpoint, when people do those two, they not only hit the driver better, but they hit their irons better too. All right, good stuff today. I had to jump on here, some things about Rory, some things about Bryson. And look, congratulations to Bryson DeChambeau. He's someone that I've been a little critical over the years, but I give him a lot of credit for who he has become, really, over the last 6 to 8 months. I mean, here's a guy I think that has looked himself in the mirror and has made himself better. Like, he has taken care of himself. He has made himself better, a better person. He surrounded himself with good people around him. He has made decisions that make him happy. Don't have to agree with them. But you can see how Bryson's personality has come out with the stuff that he's doing on his YouTube channel. And I give him a lot of credit for that. I do. I give him a lot of credit for that. I think he's the most popular golfer in today's game right now. Whether you're a LIV fan or not, PGA Tour fan or not, I think Bryson is the guy, the most popular professional golfer in today's game. All right, that's enough. We'll be back tomorrow. Keith Stewart joins us from the Travelers up at TPC. Why am I drawing? River Highlands. Ooh, I love that place. I've played it many times. Great golf course. We'll be back tomorrow. He's on site. See you.